Hi there, this is the Romance Program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Oss for Sun Sounds of Arizona. I've got two stories coming up this hour. The first one is from True Confessions magazine called All's Fair in Love. Here's the story. A jealous coworker, this is a subtitle. A jealous coworker threatens to steal him away, but I won't let her. Okay. As I looked at my wedding gown, I couldn't believe I was marrying an on-the-rise corporate executive. The dress was beautiful and I looked good in it, but I was still surprised that he wanted me. My best friend, Nadine, had already found her Prince Charming. He was an upcoming attorney, but I was still hoping to find someone to love. But the right man never seemed to appear. So when a man at a cafe that Nadine and I went to too often began staring at me, I didn't think about it. Nadine and I walked into a cafe and sat down waiting for the waitress to come over and take our orders. "It's hot today," Nadine replied. "Excuse me, I need to get home and take a quick shower." "I know the feeling," I replied, fanning myself. "It's crowded in here today." I mingled by the place constantly, not seeing such a crowd. "But every day brings differences to our being, doesn't it?" "Whatever," Nadine replied. "I miss my hubby. He's a man on the move, and you should be so proud of him." "And I am. There's a firm in California that's interested in him, but that would mean taking the bar in California. I don't know if he's up for that, and I don't want to move to the left coast," she said softly. "I've lived here all my life, and I don't want to leave, but I do love him so much." "And that is the most important thing, the love you share for each other, Nadine. If I had a husband like yours, I'd go wherever he wanted." "That's easier said than done. You're not in the situation, so you're on the outside looking in. Imagine being in my shoes. Then you'd change your mind." I stared at the waitress as she smiled, took our orders for beverages, and then left a basket of bread and some butter on the side. Instantly, I reached for bread and butter. As I began buttering the roll, Nadina, followed my lead. "I guess you're right. I'm just someone looking in who has never been in love, so how could I possibly imagine?" I replied dimly. I took a bite of my roll as I stared at the crowded restaurant. When my eyes hit the back of the room, I noticed a very handsome man eyeing me. I couldn't believe it. I turned left and right, thinking that he couldn't have been checking me out. He gave me the most brilliant smile. I turned away again, and he was still watching me, but I had to be absolutely sure. "Nadine, look at that table in the back. Tell me what you see." Nadine followed my instructions as she gazed in the direction I had pointed toward. "I see a very appealing man staring at my best friend. Why don't you go over there and put him out of his misery? I told you often that women aren't sitting around waiting for men to make the first move. It's the century for women coming out of their shells and going after what they want. I walked up to Jack, remember?" I nodded my head as I took a sip of my drink. "I think not. I'm not in the mood for rejection, and he's probably married with three children. Why would he reject you? You look good and the man is staring at you. I decided to change the subject. So I started talking about work. 30 minutes later, Nadine and I were laughing over chit-chat about our work, school, and her husband. Then I looked up and saw the man walking toward the table. "Hello, ladies," he said in a deep voice. I couldn't help but admire two beautiful-looking women, so I had to come over and see if the one I was checking out was free. "My name is Terrence." He stared at me, and I was flabbergasted. Words failed me. "I'm Nadina, and this is Jasmine." Nadine. Oh, now it says, I guess it's Nadine. Sorry. I can't tell if that's an E or an A. Okay, Nadine. I'll call her Nadine. "Please join us, but excuse me because I have to run to the ladies' room." I was so nervous when she hurried off that I was speechless. I reached for my glass instead and took a long swallow of my diet soda to play it off. "Hello, Jasmine. Your name is as pretty as you are. I was wondering if I could have your telephone number or your email address. I'd like to get to know you," he stated plainly. I was shocked into silence. I did have email, but was the guy really interested, or was it another game? I was so tired of play as, I guess it says. I liked his attitude. He didn't try to give me a line. He just came straight out and said he was interested. I didn't believe him, though. I was trying to figure out what his game was. Did I say something wrong? I certainly didn't mean to upset or offend you in any way. No, I was just thinking for a minute. I hope that you were thinking which thing you were going to give me, your telephone number or your email address. I'd be happy with either or both, whichever one you're more comfortable giving me. I just don't know. What do you usually do when a man asks for your number? I'm sure this isn't the first time, he said softly. I didn't want to tell him the truth, that I rarely had a man to ask for my phone number. I just wasn't the kind that was attractive to men. Well, I usually don't give either. I'd rather get the guy's, yours. I tried to sound as normal as possible. I didn't want him to know that he made me nervous. Okay, so I'll give you my email address and business card with my telephone number, and please feel free to get in touch with me at any time. Here are two cards in case you lose one. I'd stay longer, but I'm on my way to a business meeting. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you. You can call or email me late tonight if you like. I'm going to be up a while. Please say goodbye to your friend also. I will, I said. And I really look forward to hearing from you. Then he arose and walked away. I saw the entire thing, Nadine started as she resumed her seat. I hope you email tonight. Don't keep that man waiting. I came back to reality as I stared at her. He's probably just interested in sex and nothing more or less. Frankly, I just don't have the time to play whatever game it is that he wants to play. This is your chance to meet a very respectable man who is interested in you because you're a very attractive and beautiful woman. Go for it. What do you have to lose? Nadine shook her head. You're going to email him tonight because I have a good feeling. Let's hurry up and eat and then get back to your place so we can turn on your computer and get the romance booming. I do know what I'm doing, so just trust me. Nadine was just as excited as I was I emailed him that night and he sent me one in return. And that was the beginning. 2 months later, Terrence and I were a couple. He was the perfect man, in my eyes. Our first date was to dinner in an intimate bistro. They had jazz on Thursday night. Although I never thought that I enjoyed jazz, I enjoyed the music and the company. Our next date was to a small art gallery. I had mentioned in passing that I liked art and I hoped to learn a little more about it. The following week, we went to a movie. It was an action thriller. He said that was his favorite kind of movie. I didn't respond at all. Afterward, we went to a little cafe to eat. I wasn't sure if you enjoyed action movies, but they're among my favorite kind. I just wanted you to get an idea about the kind of things I like. I know we're not always going to have the same taste, but I just want you to see what I like. Well, I'm glad you don't like foreign films with subtitles. They always bore me. Why would you think that would be the kind of movie I would enjoy? He inquired. Well, you're so smart. I figured that intellectual types go for those kinds of movies. Then he laughed loudly. He was still laughing when the waiter came to take our order. He apologized and said that he hated foreign films and had never considered himself an intellectual. I'm the kind of guy that likes to do a variety of things, but watching foreign films has never been one of them. A perfect evening would be spending the evening with you, anywhere, doing anything. I just love to be in your company. You light up any room, any time. I blushed at his words. Again, I could barely think, much less speak. You don't have to blush when you know it's true, Jasmine. You are truly a beautiful woman. I feel honored every chance I get to spend time with you. What more could a woman want to hear? I was beginning to feel good about myself, and I realized that Terrence really did care for me because he showed it in so many little ways. He'd send me cards because he thought that I'd like them, or he'd send unusual flower arrangements. He said roses were too plain for me and I deserved something with a little more imagination. Terrence was a man who knew how to romance a woman. We'd relax at his condo and he'd tell me about the latest deal he was working on, or he'd grill a steak, make a salad, and bring home a delicious dessert from my favorite bakery. One night, he rubbed my feet so well, I can't tell you what it feels like he was doing, but you can imagine. I think when I started to purr his name, he began touching them more tenderly. Our relationship provided me with an emotional comfort zone. My previous relationships had been rushed and negative. Usually a man would date me for a while. Then, as soon as we had sex, he would move to the next conquest. One ex-boyfriend even told me I wasn't good enough in bed to keep a man interested. Terrence hadn't even thought up brought up lovemaking. I was beginning to worry because I had already fallen in love with him. Was I just a woman that he enjoyed spending time with? Was he not attracted to me or any woman in that way? The thoughts that began racing through my mind began to worry me. I didn't want to bring it up because I was afraid of the answer. Fortunately, it was a question I didn't have to answer. One night after a date, he came inside my tiny apartment and was about to kiss me goodnight. This time, the kiss took on a more passionate and hungry response. I couldn't tell who was moaning more, him or me. Then he stopped kissing me for a moment and looked deeply into my eyes. "I think I'm falling in love with you." Then he shook his head and looked at me again. "No, I know that I'm in love with you." Then he placed his hand on my face and asked, "Don't you love me a little?" I grabbed the hand and placed it over my heart. "Can't you feel it? Don't you know I'm in love with you?" "Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one feeling that way," he said before he chuckled. That night, he didn't go home, and he stayed for breakfast the next morning. I got up a little earlier than normal to make his favorite muffins. However, before they finished baking, he was already in the kitchen with his arms around me. "I love feeling like this and being here with you," he said. "I do too," I said, smiling. "But I think you'd better get washed up and ready for breakfast. Otherwise, you'll start something that will make us both late for work." He kissed me and then went into the bathroom. We ate breakfast without saying very much, but we kept smiling at each other. You know that stupid smile that you can't wipe off your face because you're so happy? For a while, everything in my world was perfect. I was in love with a wonderful man who loved me too. And we enjoyed spending time together, either going out or just staying at home. He had dinners at his condo, and he always let his friends know that I was the special woman in his life who made everything better. And everything was perfect until I started leaving messages at his office that weren't being returned. I knew he was busy, but he'd always find time to return messages, even if it was later that night. I knew that some of the newness was wearing off, but it was beginning to make me feel uneasy. Terrence had been working on a big project at work, and he'd been pulling long hours. Allison, his administrative assistant, had worked late too, but whenever I went to the office, she never seemed friendly. I assumed it was because she was always busy. Then one day, I got to the office earlier than planned. I overheard Allison on the phone talking. "She's a pig," Allison snapped. "I'm going to seduce him, and then I'm going to break them up. He belongs with me. I haven't worked all these years with him to watch some other woman take him away." Now I began to understand the unreturned phone calls. I had no idea that Allison wanted my man, and I don't think that he knew either. I walked through the door and tried to put a smile on my face. "I'm here to see Terrence," I said. "He's on the phone right now. I'll buzz him when he's finished. Have a seat," she commanded. I didn't bother to make small talk. I realized that the woman not only hated me, but also was after my man. She was beautiful and successful and worked with Terrence every day. Would I stand a chance if she really went out of her way? Finally, Terrence came out and we left for lunch. I was so shaken I could barely eat. I was distracted and nervous. What's wrong? Terrence asked. Nothing's wrong, I replied. I know when something is bothering you, Jasmine. What is it? He asked sharply. I couldn't say what was really bothering me, that I was afraid that his assistant would go after him, so I decided to talk to him about his late hours. You know I'm working on a project. What do you think I'm doing? He inquired. I don't know. That's why I'm asking. You and your assistant seem pretty chummy to me. What's really going on? Instead of immediately pacifying my fears, he became silent. Then his eyes slanted piercingly toward mine. Allison works for me, and that's all you need to know. I had never known Terrence to speak so sharply. He was attracted to her, I could tell, and that only meant that I would lose him. I didn't have the kind of job she did or the kind of looks she did. Even though Terrence made me feel gorgeous, I was really a plain Jane. Instead of responding, I just began to eat my meal quicker. I wanted this lunch to be over as soon as possible. I didn't want to hear him start to talk about his new woman. I wouldn't be able to take it. Then I left quickly, muttering something about having to return to work. That night, Terrence didn't call at all. I checked my email to see if he sent a note, but he hadn't. I was miserable. I wanted to call him, but I knew that I shouldn't. I tried to stay busy. Nadine had just discovered she was pregnant, so her husband had taken her on a romantic vacation. So I couldn't hang out with her, and I really didn't feel like being with my other friends. So when my boss asked if I would be available to work in another office for a week, I jumped at the opportunity. It was only a few towns over, but the company was going to put me up in a hotel for the 5 days I was going to be there. Maybe a different location will give me a new attitude. I don't want to spend all my time thinking about Terrence, I thought. The office was busy, but the work wasn't difficult. I really enjoyed working with my new colleagues. I was beginning to contemplate asking for a transfer. Maybe leaving town was exactly what I needed to do. I needed to have new memories to replace all the sad ones I had of Terrence and me. We were happy. We were so happy together, or at least that's what I thought. The night I finally returned home, I was so tired that I went directly to bed. I was sleeping soundly when I heard a loud sound. It sounded as though someone were knocking on my door. I must have been dreaming. I couldn't imagine anyone knocking at my door so late. Maybe it was an emergency. That had to be it. I must have fallen asleep because the knock or banging on my door alerted me to my senses. I wiped my eyes hard, wondering who could be knocking as if their life depended on it. I stared at my watch. It was after 1 o'clock in the morning. I opened the door and froze when I saw it was Terrence. I was about to close the door in his face when he pushed it open and walked in, slamming it behind him. I could tell he was furious. He marched into my living room and began pacing the floor. Where on earth have you been? Away on business. Now, will you please just leave? Not until you give me an explanation. I've been so worried, but you didn't care about that. I can't believe you wouldn't return my phone calls or emails. I thought you cared about me. I thought what we had was special. What is with you women? You're always talking about not finding a good man. But when one tries to treat you right, you throw it in his face. You're no better than Allison. Allison? I'm not at all like Allison, that witch. Yes, you are. Allison and I started going out when I first started the company. I thought she really liked me, but she just wanted me because she thought I would be climbing the corporate ladder. She wanted to be seen on my arm, but she didn't really care for me. I vowed never to get involved with another woman like that. I thought you were different. I thought you really loved me. And the worst part is, Allison was the one telling me all along that you were fooling me. She even came on to me a few times, and I always pushed her aside. I told her that I had found the woman I was going to spend the rest of my life with. Wait a minute. You don't want to be with Allison? You want to be with me? I asked. Yes, but I know you don't want me. Of course I want you. I love you, Terrence. I thought you wanted to be with Allison. Then I asked him to sit down, and I explained what I had overheard in the office and told him that I thought he didn't want me any longer and that I had worked in another office. We talked for a long time that night. We talked about our hopes and desires for the future, and we committed to exploring a future together. Terrence didn't propose that night, but I believed he would. After that night, the time we spent together seemed better. Although we had been close for a while, the time we shared seemed more intimate. One night at dinner, Terrence began talking about how much he loved me. Jasmine, you're beautiful inside and out. My life was just plain and boring before you came into it. Oh, Terrence, I feel exactly the same way. Then he reached over and grasped my hand. Jasmine, I can't imagine getting old without you. I can't imagine anyone else being the mother of my children. I just can't imagine living without you. Then he let go of my hand and reached into his pocket. He pulled out a box and smiled. Will you marry me, Jasmine, and make me the happiest man in the world? Yes. Oh, yes. We kissed, and some of the other patrons began clapping. That was 6 months ago. Neither Terrence nor I wanted to wait any longer than that. But I told him I would need at least 6 months to plan a wedding. We had decided to get married in the park, and the day was beautiful. Part of me still couldn't believe that I was marrying the man of my dreams. Hurry up, Jasmine, Nadine said. You don't want to keep the man waiting. No, I don't, I replied. I can't wait to get started on our life together. It has been 3 months since that wonderful day. It's still hard for me to believe I'm married, but I'm glad I found my true love. All right, that's the end of my first story. If you tuned in late, this is the Romance Program with Volunteer Genios for Sun Sounds of Arizona. My next story is from True Romance Magazine called A 4th of July Wedding. Here's the story. You're eloping? I couldn't have heard him right. My father's chuckle traveled over the long-distance phone connection. Well, as long as we're in Vegas, Mariel and I decided to tie the knot in the hotel's wedding chapel the day after tomorrow. We thought it might be fun to get married on the 4th of July. Of course, we really don't expect you to show up here or anything like that. Chicago's a long way off. I twirled the telephone cord around my fingers. Forget about a younger sister beating me to the altar. My widowed father was acing me out. The 60-something conservative man who laid out his clothes the night before and collected everything from restaurant matchbooks to antique shaving mugs. Sure, he'd been dating Ms. Parsons, oops, I was supposed to call her Marielle, for about 6 months, but I never imagined they would get married during their four-night excursion in Las Vegas. Speaking of which, Dad, please tell me the person performing the ceremony won't be wearing a rhinestone jumpsuit and slicked back hair. Again, Dad's laughter bounced over hundreds of miles of telephone wire. He paused only long enough to tell Ms. Parsons that what I'd said, and then I heard her hooting in the background, too. Sorry to disappoint you, Lara, but Elvis won't be marrying us. We already met the minister, and he's a nice man. He wears a business suit, and everything I didn't see one rhinestone. Oh, it was a silly question. Dad wasn't the type to get married to or in a stretch limousine or at a drive-through wedding window. He was the type who got married in the church he'd been attending for the past 30 years. So why wasn't he? I called your brother Dennis, but he can't get away, especially at the last minute like this. Not that I would want him to make the trip either. You both have your lives, and besides, one of the hotel employees volunteered to be our witness in case family couldn't make it. I grinned. My father always had been easy to read. A twinkle in his brown eyes or a flick of a hand through his crew cut gave away his mood every time. Right then, his redesigned yet hopeful tone told me he wanted me at his impromptu wedding and I wouldn't disappoint him. I'd love to come to the ceremony, Dad, except for a barbecue at a co-worker's place. I don't have any plans for the weekend. I'm sure she'll understand if I cancel. I mean, how many times does your father get married? His deep sigh of relief echoed in my ear. Good. The next morning, I stood in the hotel's coffee bar, absently dumping packets of artificial sugar into my chocolate raspberry coffee. I could hardly hear myself think over the hubbub in the crammed lobby. According to a bulletin board, the hotel was hosting four conventions that long weekend, not to mention the usual crowd of tourists, many of whom wore red, white, and blue outfits and waved miniature flags. As I stirred my sweet-smelling drink, I yawned repeatedly. Thanks to a chatty seatmate, I hadn't been able to doze off during the four-hour flight to Vegas that morning. On the bright side, the woman's prattle distracted me from thinking about the bags of groceries I could have bought with the money I'd spent on a last-minute plane ticket. "Excuse me," a rich male voice said, and I glanced up from my coffee. The words towering, solid, and blue leapt to mind. Since I'm 5'8 myself, I wasn't intimidated by his 6'3 frame, and I'd eat through enough high school football, I had sat through enough high school football games. Dennis was a star running back to be unfazed by a wickedly broad chest. But those eyes, when I looked into his sapphire eyes, I recognized something I hadn't seen in a man in a long time. Sincerity. Not that I was a good judge of that quality. 6 months earlier, I thought I'd seen a loving future and children in Marty's green eyes until he accepted a job offer in Los Angeles and happily left our engagement behind. On the plane that morning, a wild thought had raced through my head. Las Vegas is only 100 miles from Los Angeles. For an are-you-crazy moment, I actually considered looking him up while I was there. I was ashamed of myself. Snatching my cup, purse, and camera from the countertop, I shoved aside thoughts of Marty. He was in the past where he belonged. And wham, before I could take a step, a trio of rowdy tourists dressed in Hawaiian shirts blindsided me, sending me and my coffee sailing into the blue-eyed man's rib cage. I jumped back before the coffee could stain my new sundress. I'm sorry, I should have put a cover on the cup, but I wanted to get out of the way fast, I stammered, gazing stupidly at the puddle around my sandals. I can't believe those guys didn't stop to apologize for ramming into me. I hope nothing splashed on your clothes. Don't worry about it, the man said. It's not your fault some people forget their manners when they're on vacation. Anyway, I'm good. His words were cut off by the arrival of a maintenance person, mop and pail in hand, who shooed us away. I think we'd better get off the battlefield. He gently removed the half-filled cup from my quivering fingers and tossed it in a trash can. There's an empty table near the pool exit. You're welcome to the extra chair. With what felt like the entire population of Las Vegas scrutinizing me, I followed him to a wrought iron table and slipped into a chair facing a glass wall that overlooked the outdoor pool. Electronic doors swooshed open and the scent of coconut suntan lotion drifted by. For no particular reason, I noticed some of the people piling in were barefoot, tracking wet footprints onto the carpet. I'm Cameron. Cam, by the way. The man reached down to take my hand. Laura, glad to meet you. Sit tight and I'll get you another cup of whatever you're drinking. I blushed when he raised his eyebrows at my request for 4 sugars in my coffee. I watched him zigzag his way to the coffee bar. He was literally a head and shoulders taller than most of the customers in line. And was it my imagination or did the crowd just naturally part to let him through? Who was he? Although he was jacketless and the sleeves of his crisp white shirt were rolled up, he was probably a businessman or a conventioner. Maybe he worked at the hotel. Whoever he was, I didn't see any harm in spending a few minutes with him before I met Dad and Ms. Parsons for brunch. To be honest, the idea of spending time with a proverbial handsome stranger filled my insides with fluttering butterflies. On second thought, the feeling was more like singing bees. I tried to erase the enthusiasm from my face as he approached with 2 cardboard cups and something wrapped in white paper. Very sweet coffee, as ordered, he said, winking. And this is an eclair about the size of the phony Eiffel Tower down the street. The man was a gem. He even remembered to bring a stack of napkins. Business or pleasure? I had to think about my answer since my mother died 7 years earlier. Family meant Dad and me. My brother, who lived on the East Coast with his wife and kids, only came to visit twice a year. The about-to-change family dynamic worried me. Would Ms. Parsons tag along with Dad and me to the annual Strawberry Fest in June? Would she enjoy browsing through dusty flea markets on lazy fall afternoons? I didn't know. I knew little about the woman, other than that she made me feel like a third wheel. Yoo-hoo, Kim teased. Sorry I was daydreaming. Both, I guess, business and pleasure. If my answer puzzled him, he didn't comment. Where's home? I dabbed chocolate icing from my mouth. Chicago, you? His lips curved into a smile, bright enough to light up the lobby. Heck, it could have powered the city of Las Vegas. Dad's wedding, my broken engagement, everything faded in its glow. We were neighbors. Well, we used to live in neighboring states. I grew up in a small town in Missouri, not far from the Illinois border, but I've been living in Nevada since I graduated from college about 8 years now. He stopped to sip his coffee, and I eyed his untouched eclair. Before you ask, because everyone does, he said, I love living here, hot temperatures and all. I get to hike in the mountains and bike around Lake Mead year-round. Images of Cam in biker shorts, muscular legs pumping hard, and a film of perspiration glistening on his angular face popped into my head and refused to go away. I fanned myself. The air-conditioned lobby suddenly felt uncomfortably warm. Have you done any sightseeing yet? I shook my head. I needed coffee first. I have some time before. How would you like to see the Statue of Liberty, Dancing Waters, and, if we're quick about it, a pyramid in one morning? I'd love it. I had a glimpse of some of the attractions on the way to the hotel, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more. Ah, but you need a local like me to show you the sights. His fingertips grazed his shirt collar. Let's see, a few of the hotels have outdoor roller coasters. One has a fake erupting volcano. Another has a circus, and that's merely by the start of the gimmicks. And that's merely the start of the gimmicks used to lure tourists. Believe me, when it comes to over the top, this city has no rivals. Whether that's good or bad depends on the viewer, I suppose. I gulped down the last of my coffee, although I wasn't looking for it, and it was probably wistful thinking anyway. Romance seemed to be in the cards. I talked nonstop, or at least it seemed that way. I told him about my job as a physical therapist specializing in children's problems and about my life back in the Midwest. Why I was so chatty, I didn't know. Maybe it was, nerves. I'm having trouble reading this really small print, and the light's not very good in here, so I apologize. Okay. Maybe it was nerves, or maybe his interested sapphire eyes encouraged me to open up. When a group of Japanese tourists swarmed onto the street in front of us, he grabbed my hand and didn't let go until his cell phone chimed several minutes later. After he excused himself, he edged away to a quieter spot under a palm tree. I tried to focus on the scene around me, but my gaze wandered back to Cam and the way the sunlight played on his blue-black hair. He reminded me of a younger, dark-haired Robert Redford. And at that moment, young Robert was frowning. Worry lines creased the corners of his mouth and eyes, and they were still there when he stuffed the phone in his pocket and hurried over to me. Everything okay? I asked. I'm sorry, Lara. His big shoulders rose and then dropped. Something's come up. I have to get back to the hotel right away. Can we meet this evening, maybe around 7? If you're free, I'd like to take you to dinner and a show. He mentioned a singer I was dying to see. I'd like that myself, I realized. I sounded like a kid who just received an invitation to an amusement park, but I couldn't keep the excitement out of my voice. I doubt you'll get tickets to the show, though. The box office told me it was sold out months in advance. He winked. You'd be surprised. Back in the lobby, I promised to meet him at 7, and he disappeared in a sea of dental hygienists. Since I had an hour to kill, I decided to shop for Dad's wedding present. On the way to the coffee bar, I'd noticed a sterling silver picture frame in the gift shop window. He could put his wedding photo in it and have a pretty memento for his curio cabinet. I followed the arrows down a carpeted corridor to the larger shop on the other side of the building. As I rounded a corner, my leg froze mid-step. Okay, in an alcove next to the gift shop, a blonde woman sobbed in the arms of, no, it couldn't be. It was Cam. I plastered myself against a wall behind a huge potted plant, and my hand flew to my throat. He was comforting the blonde. It's painful now, but in a few months you'll be relieved the ceremony is off. I know I am. You don't want to be married to someone who doesn't love you, do you? Shell-shocked, I inched away. He was calling off his marriage? Was he pulling a Marty? How could a man about to jilt his fiancé invite me to dinner? A dozen more questions scrambled around my brain as I dashed back to the lobby and slumped into the nearest vacant chair. There had to be an explanation. He could be a relative soothing the scorned bride. After Marty's departure, I certainly needed soothing. Why had seeing him with the blonde upset me? I had no right to be disillusioned. I'd only known him for a few hours, and I was returning to Chicago in 2 days. Yet a heavy aching, a kind of hollowness, settled in around my heart. Hungry? Someone said above my bent head. I looked up at Dad and Ms. Parsons, and then down at my watch. I'd been so wrapped up in my thoughts, I hadn't seen or heard anything going on around me for the past hour. You okay, Lara? Dad's caramel-colored eyes zeroed in on my face. I shot up and clasped his hand. Okay. Yep, fine. I'm just drained, I guess. Between getting a plane ticket, packing, and everything else, I had about 20 minutes of sleep last night. You should take a nap after lunch, said Parsons. Ms. Parsons said in her retired kindergarten teacher voice. Smiling politely, I latched onto the arm Dad offered. With Miss Parsons on his older one, he led the way to the buffet on the other one. Oh gosh, sorry, I just cannot see this very good. Where he filled his plate with rolls, salad, and cold cuts. After seeing Cam with the blonde woman, I didn't have much of an appetite. The amazing assortment of food looked about as tempting as the plastic stuff in a kitchen in the kitchen appliance showrooms. I pretended to eat a ham and cheese omelet. Ms. Parsons nibbled on cold shrimp and kept her head down and her eyes averted. She was courteous enough the few times I attempted to make conversation with her, but then she quickly retreated into her shell. My heart went out to Dad. He had to feel trapped between a rock and a hard place. I just wasn't sure if I was the rock or the hard place. The wedding rings will be ready tomorrow, he said between bites of banana cream pie, just in time. You know, Lara, you could have come with us to the jeweler's this morning. I know, I didn't want to intrude. I mean, picking out the ring you'll wear for the rest of your life is a private occasion. To his left, Miss Parsons nodded, a smidgen too eagerly, I thought. So how did you occupy yourself, Dad asked. What could I tell him? I met a man who put a zing in my step. With silver-gray mountains as a backdrop, we went for a stroll, and he held my hand. Later, I saw him embracing a woman who might be his ex-fiancée. Worst, I couldn't stop thinking about him. My father arched his salt and pepper eyebrows. He was waiting for an answer. I people-watched. A sick feeling twisted my stomach when he dug into the second dessert, an eclair. Of all the goodies on the dessert table, why had he picked an eclair like the one I shared with Cam? Dad's fork dove into the pastry and scooped up custard. Marielle and I are going out this evening, about six or so. We'll ring your room so you can come along. Before I could reply, Miss Parsons sprang out of her chair. Sorry, I have to fly. I have an appointment to get my hair washed and set for tomorrow. She caressed Dad's shoulder. I'll see you later. Hold on, Mare. Let me wipe the cream off my face and walk you to the lobby. No, no, you stay with your daughter. Your daughter? Her words stung. I should be leaving too, Dad. I need to buy postcards and some of those cheesy souvenirs for my friends. Dad frowned. You stay put, Lara. I'm not finished here. You can have coffee while you watch me eat. He took Muriel's hand and they navigated the maze of tables to the buffet entrance. There, in plain view of dozens of other diners, he kissed her. Not a timid brushing of lips, either. He bowed his head and smacked her full on the mouth. Tears burned my eyes. I didn't understand what was wrong with me, but I couldn't let my father see me sniveling. I grabbed the clean napkin on my lap and mopped up my cheeks. Have a strawberry, he offered after he sat down again. No thanks. A leftover sob escaped and Dad's fork clanged onto the table. I knew something was up, Lara. You might as well tell me. I'm fine, Dad. I forced myself to chew a strawberry. This is delicious, really sweet. I wonder where they get them in the desert. You're not fine, and I think I know why you don't like Marielle. You call her Ms. Parsons, and you're a different person when she's around. Almost cagey. That's not you, Lara. He pushed his plate away. I hoped you two would get along. She's not replacing your mother, you know. And she doesn't expect to. I'll always love your mom the same way Mario will never forget her first husband. He reached for my hand. She doesn't want to shut you and Dennis out of our lives, if that's what's bothering you. She doesn't like me. His face crinkled. What? She never told me she doesn't like you. Yeah, Dad. Like she would tell you she hates your daughter. That's a pretty powerful word. And to tell you the truth, I don't think Mariel can hate anyone. That evening, I opted for the coward's way out. Not wanting to be anywhere near the hotel at 7, I accepted Dad's invitation to explore with him and Ms. Parsons. Guilt gnawed at me. I'd never deliberately stood someone up. I closed my eyes to absorb the quiet. It was a beautiful night. Oh no, footsteps. Dad whistled. Look who it is, Mayor. It's Reverend Rowley. He's the minister who's marrying us tomorrow, Lara. Good. He's headed this way. Like I said, he's a nice guy, Lara. You'll like him. Reverend Rowley, I'd like you to meet my daughter, Lara, who flew in for the wedding. Lara, meet Cam. It's good to see you again. You know Lara? Cam smiled at me. We met in the lobby this morning. Want to sit and talk? Cam turned to me. Your father and Miss Parsons were kind enough to leave us alone. Why didn't you tell me your dad was getting married in the chapel? Why didn't you tell me you marry people? Because some people are put off when I mention what I do. Anyway, I was going to mention it over dinner. I explained that I had seen him hugging the crying blonde woman. He laughed so loudly, the guard's head jerked around. The woman's name is Melanie. She and her boyfriend drove down from Fargo to get married in the chapel. At the last minute, the groom decided he wanted out and abandoned her at the altar, my altar. I didn't fly back to Chicago after Dad's wedding as originally planned. With my employee's approval, I stayed in Las Vegas another 3 days to get acquainted with a man who turned out to be sincere, funny, smart, and compassionate. Falling in love with Cam was as natural as talking, as taking a breath. I knew I could be happy living in the desert with Cam. I was thinking about your father and Mariel, Cam said. It's great they eloped to Las Vegas because if they hadn't, we wouldn't have met. However, when my time comes, I want a big traditional wedding. 10 months later, that's exactly what we had.
And this has been the Romance Program. I'm Volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Take care.
And remember, if you missed any part of this program, you can access it on demand at sunsounds.org and click Broadcast Info and Audio.